Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, July 20th. I'm Ray Graff. It's the plumbing show today, and it's always a popular one. You know why? Because people are cheap. They want free advice, and that's what we will dispense. But here's the thing. Every time I have taken plumbing advice and tried to do it on my own, I end up calling a plumber. It's only 18 hours, some ripped up knuckles, some broken bones, and some broken pipes later. But if you want to give it a shot, Alan Ayers is here to help you out with some advice. Alan is a licensed master plumber, vice president of Chris Afully Brothers. If you have a question, give us a call at 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or email voxpop@wamc.org. Yeah, Alan Ayers, your plumbing call's coming up right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Plumbing today, and we do a plumbing show every couple of months, and we welcome Alan Ayers. Alan is a licensed master plumber and vice president of Chris Afully Brothers. For 80 years, Chris Afully Brothers has provided plumbing, heating, and air conditioning design, installation service, and maintenance to the Capital Region. This guy knows plumbing. This is always a popular show. My advice to you, if you want some free advice, is to call early. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Voxpop@wamc.org is the email address, but the number is 800-348-2551. Alan Ayers, welcome back. How are you, buddy?
Excellent. Glad to see you, Ray.
Summer is here. Things feel like they're coming back to some sense of normalcy. How are things going over at Chris Afully Brothers?
Things are fantastic. You know, work is busy, and we've been able to keep all our crews working full-time, and
yeah, but I mean, the stress level of the crews must be down a little bit. Everybody must be relaxed a little more now, yeah?
Yeah, as the world has opened up a little bit, our staff is definitely more comfortable going to people's homes, and people are more comfortable with the staff, too. So, yeah, for sure. I'm sure they're all super excited to be back to something normal.
You and I talked about this during the depths of the pandemic, just how tough it is in a line of work like you're in to send people to houses where everybody is masked up and sitting in the corner of their own homes. And, you guys, it's tough.
Yeah, it was stressful sending our men there and asking them to go there and then making sure that we kept their safety and well-being, you know, first priority to us. That was definitely a challenge all last year.
Alan Ayers is our guest. It's plumbing today on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551, and the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. This email from Paul in Troy. Subject heading, stripped screw in toilet. Last tenant got a brand new toilet. She has since moved out, but someone twisted a screw in the toilet seat until it was stripped. Is there any way to fix that without buying yet another new toilet? And that's from Paul and Troy.
Paul, I think your best bet is to go to like a local hardware store, and they make tools called Easy Out or specific bits to get strip screws out of anything, whether it's wood or toilet seats.
You should be able to get that out.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, let's go to the phones at 800-348-2551. And Keith is in Milford, Pennsylvania. Keith, you're up.
Hello, Ray and Alan. Alan, my question to you, I have a shower stall. It's on the second floor. Now, it was probably installed by the owner before I bought the house, but the floor is not solid. So it started to leak, and I called the plumber in, and I asked him to put a brass fitting on the bottom of the shower stall, but he put one of those rubber connectors after he cut the plastic pipe. And it's only a year and a half, and now I've got to tear the whole ceiling down because it's leaking yet again. So two things. What could I do to keep that shower stall from flexing when someone's in there? And number two, shouldn't a patch like, I've never heard of a plumbing repair only lasting a year and a half when you have to tear the ceiling of the kitchen out to get to it.
Well, thank you for not mentioning the name of your plumber. I can't afford a lawsuit here, so thank you for that.
Well, I knew that.
Appreciate it. Alan, what do you think?
Keith, I think, unfortunately, I'm going to assume it's a fiberglass or acrylic shower base, The best
probably
acrylic. The best method and the only surefire way to fix it is to remove the shower base itself, and prior to putting it back in place, put a product called Structolite underneath it, or plaster underneath it.
That's what I was told should have been done in the first place, but
for
obviously
sure.
The homeowner, I think he did most of it, didn't do that.
Ah.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's a sure way to make sure that it's going to be stable and you won't be putting any undue pressure on the joints beneath the pipe or beneath the shower, yeah.
Okay.
As far as if I call another plumber, because like Ray, I've tried to do some stuff and it may not have worked out as well.
I'm sure you did better than I did, but go ahead.
But at least if I did try the repair and it leaked, I'd only have myself to blame. And certainly if I call the same plumber back, he's not going to say, oh, I'll be right there to fix it.
Well, I'm not sure how Alan Ayers will answer that one, but go ahead, sir.
So I'd go into Yellow Pages or the newspaper and look for one of the larger reputable contractors in your area. And word of mouth is really the best bet when you're dealing with contractors. I would ask a bunch of neighbors and friends and family and people at church or what have you and see if they can help you out with somebody that's really reputable.
Yeah. Now, should I request that they don't ever use one of those rubber patches?
Well, I'm going to assume that what he used is a brand name. It's called a Fernco coupling, and that's a viable repair method. Some of the big box stores sell something that's very similar, but it's not quite as rigid and doesn't meet quite the same standard as the Fernco brand does. But that's a viable repair. You know, we use that from time to time when we have to.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks for the call, Keith. We appreciate it. Alan Ayers is our guest. The number is 800-348-2551. This one's from Nancy. Laundry drain overflow is the subject heading. Nancy and Troy writes, laundry drain overflows, but everything else drains okay. We've had tons of rain. Sump pumps are working overtime. Any advice?
If any of your secondary drains are draining slow or overflowing, then you probably have a bigger problem hiding underneath.
Yeah.
I would definitely call a reputable contractor that specializes in drain cleaning and have them come, just run a precautionary snake down the line.
And some of those older houses, and we had this one in our house too, the outside drain, some of the joints were so odd and just probably cobbled together over decades, and it was tough to get the snake through, and it required some actual replacement of pipes.
Oh, for sure. Definitely it does at times, especially in the older homes.
Our number is 800-348-2551. Alan Ayers is our guest. Let's grab one more call, and then we'll take a break. Austin in Stanfordville, New York. Austin, you're on.
Hi there. I had a question about, we just moved into a new house in Stanfordville, a new old house, and we have sulfur water in our, when we use the water from the well. So I'm wondering what's the best way to identify the source of that sulfury smell and how to get rid of it.
Oh, boy. I would take a water sample and bring it to a laboratory that specializes in water treatment or water sampling. Bender Laboratory, by name, is the only one locally I know. They're a pretty big, laboratory. They could tell you what the water content is. It's usually suspended mineral particles.
I mean, will the Cooperative Extension do that as well?
They might. I'm not too sure about that one. But I think once you get it identified, then you can talk to a water treatment specialist on how to mitigate that.
Mm-hmm. We lost Austin there. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. Alan Ayers is our guest. It's Plumbing Today on the show. A couple of open lines left, but it won't be for long. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's plumbing. 800-348-2551 is the number. Alan Ayers from Chris Afully Brothers joins us today. And, you know, there was a photo shoot here in Studio A. It used to be fairly common pre-pandemic days, but I think this is the first one I recall since the pandemic has ended enough for us to have guests in the studio. And there's this person taking pictures, and I'm informed it's Sarah from the office. What are you doing here?
Just hanging out.
Just hanging out and taking shots. Well, I hope you got my good side, but unfortunately there's not a good side.
I don't think you have a bad side.
No, oh, I don't know. So you work over at Chris Afully Brothers?
I do, yes.
And you're a new employee?
New employee. Loving every minute.
Really?
Yeah.
So the shine is still on the apple.
Oh, yeah.
Time.
I'm still in the honeymoon phase.
All right. Fair enough. Well, welcome to the show. And, you know, take shots, if you will, but just aim them over there at Alan Ayers.
Will do.
800-348-2551 is our number. And let's go to Linda in Saratoga. Linda, you're on.
Hi. I have a very unusual situation.
Double.
We're one of those households that do our own plumbing. We had to rip out everything when we bought the house and redo everything. The problem was recently we started experiencing air in our lines, and we can see all of our water pipes because we didn't, well, we're a sort of a seasonal home, and we made sure that we could have access to the pipes.
Smart.
And it tracked back, and it drove us nuts. We could not figure out whether it was a faucet or what it was, and it ended up being the water heater. The water heater was feeding, it had some sort of a leak, and it was feeding air back through the intake into the main water line. And we called plumbers, we called everybody, and nobody could figure it out. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen that over the years.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, great.
Where someone has had, it doesn't have to be necessarily a water heater, but they've had a fixture of some kind, faucet or laundry tub or something, and there's such a minor leak that it may not show leaking out, but when used, it will suck air in.
Oh.
It's such a small little thing,
really?
But it's so frustrating and elusive to find.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
It was driving us nuts. We couldn't figure out what it was because we have, we can see everything, and we knew it wasn't a leak. There was no water anywhere, and it was inside, where the water went from the main line coming in, went into the water heater. It backfed right back up into the main line again.
Isn't that something?
We ended up replacing it, and it solved the problem. But anybody I spoke with thought we were nuts, that doesn't happen.
Well you're certainly not nuts, Linda. You figured it out, and I'm glad for you.
Well, I mean, in fairness, Linda could be nuts, but she's correct about this, right?
True.
Oh, well, at least not about that topic.
Well, Linda, thanks for the call.
All right.
We'll see you. 800-348-2551 is our number. Alan Ayers is our guest. It's plumbing today. Fred is in Albany. Fred.
Yes. Well, the caller before just answered some questions about air in the line. Is that, a good cause of air pounding that, when the faucets go on?
That is definitely a good cause. Loose pipes are typically the primary cause of banging pipes. So whenever you turn on the cold water or hot water faucet, there's inertia of the water running through the pipe. If it's not secured properly within the wall, you might hear a banging and think that it's air, but it's actually just a loose pipe. I would have somebody, a friend or somebody, open and shut while you're walking through the basement or lower level and try to see if you can narrow it down to where it is.
They're all on hangers, that's what I, but what happened about 3 years ago, they shut the water off for new development. Ever since then, I had the problem with the air. I didn't get into that part.
Interesting.
So I'm just thinking, the caller before had a good cause of,
Yeah.
For that. Yeah.
Fred, okay. I guess I would say maybe, secure one of those pipes with a rigid method, maybe a couple of 2x4s or something, and nail a strap to it. That would be my first thing before you start looking for that elusive leak that we talked about with Linda.
Yeah. Actually, my water tank's 34 years old. I don't know if it's on.
Oh, boy.
Where it is at that point.
Well, Alan Ayer's eyes just got huge. 34, eh? That's quite a record. Good for you.
Oh, boy, Fred. Yeah. That's old.
Yeah, I took care of it and drained it and, you know, all that good stuff. And, you know, it seemed to last, you know, so.
That's
I'll start there then with the pipes. Because the washer is the one that makes the hammering really suck.
Yeah,
really
it opens up the flow a lot faster, so you might want to, you know, try that a few times and find a loose pipe. I think you'll find it right above the wash machine.
Well, Fred, thanks for the call. 34-year-old water tank. All right. In your experience, how many times have you seen that?
Not often. We see them in the 20-year range once in a while.
Oh, that's about
and
it.
Usually anything over 30 years, we see that during an insurance claim.
All right. Let's go to Mark in Albany. Mark, you're on. Hello, Mark. You got to turn your radio down, buddy. It'll only be about 8 seconds until he figures it out. Hello, Mark. Yeah, are you there? No, he's not. He's feeding the radio back. All right, if Mark from Albany calls back, he'll know not to have his radio on very loud, and then we'll let him back on the show. Let's go to Ed in Fishkill. Ed, you're on.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to ask about geothermal. I assume your practice extends to that. Here's the framework for my basic question. We're thinking of getting geothermal. Our house is about 2,000 square feet. And we would like to get both the air conditioning and the heating. And two things we're wondering. Is this technology real now? Can it really deliver sufficient heat and sufficient air in, you know, our climate, which is, you know, basically Hudson Valley climate? And two, what can we expect in the way of what this is going to cost us?
Well, Ed, geothermal heating has been around a long, long time, and I can assure you it's a real technology that can sustain itself in upstate New York. There's a little town outside of Clifton Park called Half Moon. Their town hall, which is maybe 30,000 square feet, is nothing but geothermal.
Really?
Yeah, there's no fossil fuel going to the building whatsoever.
Wow, that's great.
We installed that system maybe 10 or 15 years ago, and it's been, you know, working great since. So the technology's there. As far as cost up front, it can vary so greatly because of, you know, owner discretionary spending.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure where it would land, but new construction, you're looking somewhere around $15,000 to $30,000.
Interesting.
Additional. So if a standard system would be $15,000 or $20,000, you're looking at, you know, $30,000 or $50,000 install for a house that size. You know, drilling, it depends on how deep they go and how many bores you need, but it's, well drilling can be pretty expensive.
All right, so Ed, thanks for the call. All right, quickly before the next call, just run through what it is that you have to do to install a geothermal system.
You run tubing into the earth where it's a constant
temperature. How far down do you have to go?
Say 100 feet.
Yeah.
And it goes down 100 feet, comes back up 100 feet. And by the time it comes back up, you push 70-degree water down. It comes back up at 50 degrees. You pull the BTUs out of it through a heat pump. You send the cold air into the home, and then you reverse it during the winter.
Interesting.
It's pretty, pretty interesting stuff. I was looking into doing some for a greenhouse, just a kind of like my own hack version of geothermal.
Yeah.
Super interesting technology, and it can work for sure.
You know, I can see how it would cool easily, but in the winter, is 70 degrees enough to warm a house?
Yeah, so pulling BTUs is pulling BTUs. You're either pulling or putting back in. So there's heat in something that's 50 degrees, and you can extract it, compress it, and send it back out at 75 or 80 degrees.
That is so cool. Now, I assume there is some energy usage on the heat pump itself, right?
Yep. It's an electric, you know, product, but it's pretty dang efficient.
So you can save money. I mean, if it cost you $50,000 to put it in,
right,
it'll take you a century to make that money back,
It'll
right?
take a while, but it's, you know, it's really good for the environment, and
yeah,
there's no fossil fuel whatsoever, so that's kind of nice.
Very cool. Alan Ayers is here from Chris of Foley Brothers. Our number, if you have a plumbing question, is 800-348-2551. Dennis in Saratoga Springs. Dennis, you're up.
Hi. I have a 20-year-old system for
water softener? Is it a water softener?
Yes.
Okay.
All
right.
I have a water softener, and what I've noticed is that the water pressure when the water softener is on is significantly lower than when I turn the water softener off. And I was wondering if this is a function of the age of the water softener, or is it possible that there's sediment buildup? Is there any quick fix for something like this?
There's really not a quick fix. My guess is it's cycling through its regeneration process, which brings water into the softener and flushes it out. So it's sending a faucet or two's worth of water down the drain. And that's just a typical function of the type of water softener I believe you have. The best bet is just to maybe get a consultation with a water softener or a water treatment specialist, and any of the larger plumbing companies or, you know, the people that tout themselves as water softener people will be happy to come out for a consultation.
Another really quick question.
Sure, go ahead.
Question is, I have a rain shower type shower head, and I've noticed that at certain mixtures of hot and cold water, it makes a really loud noise. You know, it's like a whooshing sound, but it's extremely loud. Almost sounds like there's a lot of air or something in there.
Yeah.
Is that something that, can you just maybe explain what might be causing that, and is there any fix for it?
Oh, that's a really difficult problem to diagnose over the telephone. But it could be anything from some sediment in your piping behind the wall, which we've talked about in seasons past or whatever. Or it could very well be air, and similar to the Linda that had a problem with the air in her water heater. Dennis, it would probably be a good idea just to have one of the larger plumbing companies around your area come up. Take a look at both issues at the same time. Give you some pointers.
Thanks, Dennis, for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Alan Ayers, do you still enjoy the detective work of this? I mean, so much troubleshooting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it could be an air vent, right. And you know, snake through a house with a camera or whatever else. Is it still fun?
It's incredibly enjoyable. I you know, give me a problem. I want to solve it.
All right.
It doesn't matter if it's a plumbing problem, a personnel problem. Give it to me. I love it.
Really? Oh, you can do that? All right, hang around for a couple hours after the show. I think we can work some stuff out here. Kevin and Barry. Kevin, you're on.
Yes, hi. Long-time listener.
Hi.
By the way, I love it.
Thanks.
Quick question. In the bottom of a shower, should it be actually copper or should it be rubber?
So general.
So the shower drain, it can be either plastic or a brass drain. And the connection point, I've seen PVC piping sticking through the center of that shower drain, and there's a compression type fitting that has some black rubber around it. It kind of squeezes to the pipe. And that's a drain that's we've installed for, you know, many, many years, and it's been a fine installation. Some people have done copper screw pipe and copper soldering copper to a copper drain. Other people have a glue drain. Any one of those options are good. As long as your base isn't moving, like one of the callers before,
right.
It should last, 30, 40, 50 years.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Kevin, thanks a lot for the call. Alan Ayers joins us today for a plumbing edition of Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. Patrick in Brunswick. Patrick, you're on.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. When I flush my toilet, I hear a gurgle in the kitchen sink. I'm guessing the vent pipe is clogged. How can I fix that?
Your guess is probably accurate if there is a definite vent for the toilet. I've seen people run garden hoses, climb up onto the roof and run a garden hose down a vent to try to wash the bottom of that out.
Do you recommend that?
I don't.
Okay. What do you recommend?
I recommend, waiting for it to, either dislodge itself. If there's no backup but it's still gurgling in a month or two, then I would, call the plumber in and see if you might have just a clogged drain.
Yeah.
Could I buy one of those like power snakes or something and put in there, or is it too much of a right angle to get that done?
You may end up causing more damage than you really want to get yourself into, and plus have a tool kicking around your house you're not going to use very often.
I got one, Patrick.
I have no doubt.
Let me tell you something. I spent 15 hours trying to snake a bathroom sink. 15 hours before I called the plumber, and my hands were ripped to shreds. So enjoy the power snake, Patrick, and you don't report back when you get out of the hospital.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good one. 800-348-2551. Of course, I kid, Patrick. I'm sure he is much more competent at most things than I am. Judy in Sacandaga. Judy, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ray. And I have to tell you, you're one of my favorites on WAMC.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. And hi, Alan. Alan, I have a question. I'm wondering if you could please tell me what the process is to become a plumber and where one in our area might go for training.
I like this question, Judy.
Sure. There's a number of avenues. Always finding somebody with experience. So if you're a entry-level person trying to get into the plumbing trades, you find an older gentleman or lady that's in the plumbing business and try to maybe work alongside them as a helper, they call it. For a couple of years, and you can see if the business is right for you and see if you're right for the business and gain knowledge there. That's probably the best, I think, education you can get when you're early in your career.
Do you need a welding background?
No, not necessarily at all. Soldering and brazing is typical of the trades for decades, and as technology has increased, people are tending to use mechanical methods, ProPress and PEX and expansion and so on and so forth. So definitely don't need a welding background. You just, good mechanical inclination and, willing to work hard and serve people is probably the best character traits.
And at what point do you become a union member, or do you not have to become a union member?
It's always up to the individual as a person, whether they want to be part of a union or part of a non-union company. You can get equally good education from either party for sure.
Thank you.
Oh,
thanks,
you're welcome.
Judy. We appreciate it. One of the things I've noticed as I have grown old, and old I am, is when you're young, and I have tried to tell all of my children, go into plumbing, because this is a way to go. But when you're young, it's not a glamorous thing. It only becomes glamorous after you have to start paying plumbers. And then you realize, Oh, man, this is a good line of work to be in. So I'm wondering, are the young people, do they understand that message? Are there young people coming into the field?
Yeah. Not like there used to be in the 80s, for sure. In the 90s and 2000s, we pushed everybody to STEM and plumbing and electrical and heating, and it wasn't part of STEM. And I feel like now there's a resurgence, and people are starting to recognize the importance of a tradesman, which I'm happy to see. It's just starting to turn, but not fast enough as far as I'm concerned.
We'll take a break here. I've always told my kids, hey, at the end of the world, radio will be gone, but we will still need plumbers. So I think this is an important lesson to learn for the young ones. 800-348-2551 is the number. Alan Ayers is our guest. Plumbing, home stretch, straight ahead. Fox Pop on WAMC. It's Plumbing with Alan Ayers and Sarah from the office taking pictures. The number to call is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Couple of emails here, Alan. This one's from Pat. How do you drain the water heater to get out the sediment?
Oh, easy.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. You're going to want to connect a hose, a short hose best, to the bottom drain valve of the water heater. Turn the hot water off to the home, turn the cold water off to the water heater, drain it into a bucket. If it doesn't come out, open the valve, the cold water valve, close the cold water valve a couple times, and that should dislodge enough of the sediment to drain it out.
Will that save life? Will that add a couple of years onto the 12-year boiler or the 12-year water heater that is really, 11?
Yeah, 9.5.
Yeah, something like that.
Sure, it will. Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Fair enough. This one's from Mark. I've always heard that while ivory soap might be good for your body, it's bad for your drains. Is it true? If so, what is it about ivory and soaps like that and can possibly cause drains to clog? First of all, it wouldn't just be ivory. So when the folks from Procter & Gamble call up to yell at us, right, it's just soap that we're talking about here, right?
Right. I think anything that's going to be tacky, honey, grease, soap, anything that's going to, you know, potentially stick to the sides of the pipes and then collect future stuff,
yeah,
it's going to, you know, build up a little bit. I don't know. I haven't heard that there's one brand.
There's not. And right, I want to make it clear to, from our legal department that this was an email from a listener. And frankly, I don't believe that the listener meant to cause any harm either. It's generic soap is what we're talking about here. This one is from Tom in Del Mar. Tom says, I have a water leak coming from my unit in the basement when I run the air conditioner. Do you know how I might fix it?
Probably relatively easy fix. Running the air conditioner, it's pulling the moisture out of the air to help make it more comfortable for you. And in doing so, it's going to create some excess water and it needs to drain out. If it's draining into a little white box with a little white pipe going to it, chances are you have a bad condensate pump.
Ah.
It needs to be replaced. It may need to be just cleaned and system checked.
Okay. This last email, and then we'll get back to the phones with Alan Ayers. This one's from Rob. To the best of my knowledge, my old oil-fired cast iron furnace boiler was installed in 1950. Glass tube on the side to shower to show water level. Okay, that's what Rob's description is. It has a glass tube on the side to show the water level. I drain it daily, service it yearly, etc. I'm told it is running at 80%. My oil consumption is very tolerable. I have large cast iron radiators and exposed pipes. Heats the house in minutes. I'm happy, but should I consider an upgrade? Gas is an option.
80% is awfully generous of whoever offered you that. It's a steam boiler, my guess is, with the water sight gauge on the side.
And, yeah,
and it's, they're not known to be super efficient, you know, maybe in the mid-60s.
Even gas or just oil ones?
Oil ones specifically, yeah, are less efficient than the gas ones. I would care to say, if you don't mind getting $6 for every $10 you spend in energy and heat, then it's fine. But you know, nowadays there's 98% efficient units where you can get $9.80 of energy for the $10 you
spend. It's really amazing, the technology.
It's crazy.
Now.
It's crazy amazing.
Our number is 800-348-2551. Alan Ayers is our guest. It's Plumbing Today on Vox Pop. And Thomas is in Stockbridge. Thomas, you're on.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a quick question for you.
Okay.
I just recently upgraded my master bath. I put in one of those shower towers, and the water pressure is really low, and I'm on a pump, I mean a well water, and I was wondering if there's any way to bring that water pressure up.
Sure. So, Thomas, let's just make sure we're talking apples and apples. The water pressure, is the water pressure good in your kitchen sink on the first floor?
Yeah, water pressure is good in the kitchen sink. It's good downstairs where it's close to the utility room.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking it's probably this shower tower that has several nozzles on it.
Yeah, so my next question is, do you remember what size pipe you ran to that shower tower or up to the second floor bath?
I'm going to say that it is a half inch.
You know, that would be
right?
Yeah, that would be my guess. And when you get into some of those multiple head shower units, you typically want to run a larger pipe there.
Oh.
My guess is you don't have a pressure problem, you just have a volume problem.
Interesting.
So I would try to
try
one shower head on and see if the pressure is acceptable there. If it is, then you might want to think about increasing.
It kind of is, but not like the same pressure as the downstairs bathroom.
Mm-hmm. So you could try to mitigate it with raising the pressure settings on your well pump, and it's not something I would suggest you do unless you're familiar with electricity and well pumps. There's a couple of slight adjustments,
right.
And any of anybody that advertises for well service would be the proper person to call.
Okay, yeah, so it's just not a matter of just increasing the pressure of the tank downstairs, whatever.
Right. So if it's 30 to 50 pounds, increase it to like, you know, 40 to 60 pounds. So it goes off at 40 and comes back on at 60, or it goes off at 60, comes back on 40.
But that won't do it?
That might do it.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Might do it. So is there a danger of going with a higher pressure?
Not above 70 pounds or 75 pounds. Anything after that, and you might see some other problems, some drippy faucets and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate the call. And to Saratoga, Lori, you're on.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I heat my house with radiators. Old cast iron radiators, and I recently got a new gas-powered boiler to heat the water. And after that was installed, when I used my washing machine, the water slams. Like, it sounds like it's slamming on and slamming off with the washing machine and also with the sprinkler system, but nothing upstairs. Do you know what I mean with the slamming?
I do. I'm very familiar with that. that's relatively common.
Terrible.
Yeah, it is. It's so nerve-wracking. Yeah. I totally get that.
I'm afraid the pipes will break.
Oh, I wouldn't be too afraid. I would have I'd have a plumber come take a look at it. It could be air in the lines. And we could mitigate that with a, you know, an air chamber, very inexpensive fix. Or it could be as little as just resecuring the pipes in a certain location.
Okay. What should I say to the plumber who installed the boiler? How should I? Because he said it was unrelated, which, of course, you know, it is related because it happened. Uh-oh. It started happening like the next day.
Hmm. Lori, I would say ask him to come out without any preconceived notions, whether it is or is not.
It might be a little late for that.
It might be, but yeah. I would still ask him again and hey, could you come out and just give me an unbiased opinion on what you think the cause is? And maybe, you know, if it is something due to the installation, he's reasonable and we'll just take care of it, you know, to be honorable. Otherwise, your choice would be to call another professional in and just have them, you know, fix it. And then you're, you know, potentially into a pickle, and nobody likes pickles.
Lori, thanks, and good luck. I appreciate the call very much. We go to East Fishkill, New York, and Joe, you're on.
Well, thank you. And Ray, I love the fact that you're the only radio host I know that makes plumbing entertaining.
Well, you see, that's because I'm a semi-professional, but Alan is a true professional. So if you haven't,
you're not old yet.
Oh,
you got a ways
to go. I don't
know, Alan. I've got a 10-year-old GE Geotherm hot water heater, and we've got fairly acidic water here. So I change the anode rod about every 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the last couple times, the anode rod, right up at the top where it goes down into the tank, it corrodes and locks itself in place.
Mm-hmm.
I have been able to get it out in the past. What happens is, as you turn the nut on the top, it just breaks off because it's only welded onto the steel core. But this last time, it is solid in there, and I've actually had to drill it out before. Is there anything you know of that might help free up the corrosion that's locking this anode rod in place?
Unfortunately, without being without hot water for, you know, several days, there's nothing really I can think of off the top of my head other than soaking it with penetrating oil for a couple of days. But, Joe, I would suggest that the next replacement, you go with an electric anode rod, and you might be able to, you know, only change it every couple of years rather than every 18 months, maybe every 3 years.
Every 18 months, every year and a half, because it goes away. It corrodes right away.
Yeah, I would definitely, if it was me personally, I would replace whatever anode rod you have in there now with an electric one, and it may, you know, it's going to require an electrician or some power, but you would probably outlast the water heater at that point.
Yeah, well, it's 10 years old, so it probably doesn't have a lot of life yet. And I've tried penetrating oil. I've tried even phosphoric acid to try to etch away the corrosion in it. Nothing seems to work, so maybe drilling it out is still the only way.
I think so, and then at 10 years, you're right at that life expectancy mark, so you may want to consider replacing it and being done with the hassle.
Yep. All right, Ed, Joe, I should say, thanks for the call, and now quickly we head over to Whitesboro, New York, and Rich, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I had a question about replacing my seal underneath the toilet. It's a toilet that has no upright tank in the back. It's just like level, and it's an old one, about 70 years. I assume that the seal might be the same as the standard one, and so I'm going to ask you whether or not there's a preference on the type of seal. They have the no wax, and they have the wax with a plastic attachment, and I was wondering if you have any comment on that.
I really like the wax with the plastic attachment, personally. I when I was installing or repairing in a van, that's what I would use.
Yeah.
But not the sponges?
I didn't use the sponges. I found the wax tend to be a little more giving, so they would mold a little tighter.
They're forgiving if
exactly.
You're a little off.
Yes.
Yeah, I've noticed that too.
Okay.
I'd go with wax.
Thank you so much.
The old school method, Rich. Thank you very much for that one. And now to Diane in Port Ewan. Hello, Diane. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Thanks
for taking my call.
Good.
Quick question for you. We bought a 30-year-old townhouse, and we put in a new AC heat pump, $15,000. And several days after, there was a leak coming from the ceiling and damaged the ceiling. And the person that put the AC in said, oh, don't worry, I have a plumber, and he will come and see what happened. So the plumber came, we found the leak, and the leak was about maybe less than a foot from where the air conditioner was in the attic. So my question to you is, before I just need to know in my own mind if the AC people were telling me the truth, that there's no way they could have predicted that my pipe would have a leak, in a 30-year-old house, and there's no way they could have tested it before they put the AC in.
No problem, Diane. I'll try to do my best. Could you tell me what pipe was what pipe burst? Which one was broken? Was it a water pipe?
Water pipe, and it was not burst. It was just a leak, and they said the leak was from the condensation.
Okay. So, I guess being such proximity, I personally would have just repaired it for you. It's too close. It's too gray of an area, but I don't know that there's any way. If you were my sister, I would probably say I'm not too sure there's any way you could prove otherwise. So
okay.
I guess maybe put it behind you and chalk it up to.
Okay. Is Diane your sister?
She could be.
Okay.
No.
All right.
She's a doer.
Well, good.
I sound like I need help. Well, thank you.
Diane,
I appreciate it.
Thank you for the call. Good luck. We really appreciate it. And now to Slingerland's. Hello, Saul. You're on.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. I was one of the lucky people who had one of those 30-year-old water heaters.
Hey, good for you.
And prudence suggested that I replace it before it blew up, so I did. And I got a high-efficiency hot water heater. And ever since we've put that new hot water heater in, it takes about 3 or 4 times as long before the hot water actually makes it to the faucet. I'm just wondering what would cause that.
So that's an easy one. The tank type water heaters were always maintaining 40 or 50 gallons of hot water at all times at a basic temperature of whatever, 120 degrees. And through just gravity and convection, that hot water would travel a little bit up the hot water pipe and get closer to the faucet. So maybe 50 feet from the faucet, the water is 120 degrees, but 5 feet from the faucet, the water is 90 degrees.
Yeah.
You would feel what would seem to be, a more immediate hot water at the faucet. And now it's just being maintained and created at the time you're using
it. The on-demand hot water.
Yeah. So it's an unfortunate byproduct, but you know you're probably saving
it's
a whole.
It's not an on-demand heater. It's just
a gas tank.
High efficiency type.
It's a high efficiency gas tank, but that's why I don't understand why and they actually even did some insulation on some of the pipes going up, but it's taking much longer for the hot water to get up there.
Interesting.
That is super interesting. That would require a site visit really to try to figure out why that would be.
I mean, is it possible that the efficiency itself is the reason for this? In other words, no?
Standing hot water.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Well, good luck, Saul. Thanks for the call. And now to Ann in Albany. Ann, you're on. Only about a minute here.
Okay, I'll try to be fast. Thanks for taking the call. The city of Albany is trying to replace all of the lead water pipes. And I'm wondering, it's either that or offer you a water filter pitcher that goes in your refrigerator. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if you've been working on people's homes with this project. How long does it take? How much does it cost? The city's giving $2,000 per replacement, I guess. Mm-hmm. And also, does it make a difference? Because isn't every soldered joint lead in the system?
We've worked on with plenty of people in the city to replace their services, going from the city main to the home and get rid of the lead piping. The piping in your house, if it's older than 40 years old, there's a slight possibility that it's lead contained in a solder. If it's more than 50 years old, it's probable that it's lead containing solder. The cost to replace the water service from the street to your house depends on too many factors to give you.
Yeah, and it's not cheap.
It's not cheap. It could be $4,000. It could be $18,000.
Yeah. And I guess we'll have to leave it there, Ann. I won't give the number because we're done. Alan Ayers, how do people find Chris Afully Brothers on the web?
ChrisBro.com, ChrisBro.com.
Well, listen, great job today, and we will probably talk to you late September, October. We're booking the show soon. We'll have our agent call your agent, all right?
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Support comes from Chester Common Table, Main Street, Chester, Massachusetts. Locally sourced comfort food, wine, and cocktails, offering socially distant dining indoors and out Thursday through Sunday from 4 to 9 p.m. ChesterCommonTable.com. And Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, quarriers and fabricators used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking, rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, AshfieldStone.com. Once again, thanks to Alan Ayers of Chris Afully Brothers for joining us today. Thank you for listening. Terrific calls, all of you. Great emails as well. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phones answered by Ed Rosen. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow we talk real estate with Renata Lewis and Alexander Monticello. That is tomorrow at 2. Riveting real estate action. Be there for that one. Stand by now for the book show.